ma'am, my Lady Mary, my lord, and gentlemen, when I look back over these wartime years, I cannot help feeling that time is an inadequate and even a capricious measure of their duration. At one moment they seem so long, at another so short. Sometimes events are galloping forward at breathless speed. Sometimes there are long, hard, anxious pauses which we have to bear. Anniversaries like this seem to recur with extreme rapidity. When you get to one, look back to the other, it seems but a very brief span. And yet the intervening months are so packed with incident and so burdened with toil that as you retrace your steps mentally over them, you cannot believe that they have not lasted for several years. It's hard to remember how long ago this war began. And one can never be quite sure whether it has lasted a flash or an age. I had a very shrewd suspicion, my Lord Mayor, when I received your gracious invitation, that you would probably propose the health of His Majesty's ministers, and that I must hold myself in readiness for the task of making some reply. And I thought that I would see whether I could not get some hints out of what I had said last year when this agreeable event and festival was also celebrated. I saw then that I was congratulating you upon the year of victory of 1943. I was congratulating the city of London on that memorable and exhilarating year of almost unbroken success. And I was recounting the long succession of places and countries which had been cleared of the enemy. All Africa, I said, was cleared. Sicily, Sardinia, Corsica, and one-third of Italy were in the hands of the British and United States Army. The mighty war which the United States were waging and are waging in the Pacific had prospered beyond all hope. And in Russia, Marshal Stalin's armies were already rolling triumphantly forward to cleanse their native land of the German invader. But, my Lord Mayor, the events of 1943 have been far surpassed by those of 1944. Rome and Athens, Paris, Brussels and Belgrade all have been rescued, and by their own exertions have largely rescued themselves from German oppression. All Hitler's satellites have turned against it. Not only have they been struck down, but they have actually turned their arms upon his baleful coercion. The slaves driven so far against their interests against their honor, against, in many cases, their inclinations, have had the chance to turn upon the slave driver and may now wreak a vengeance which is due as much from them as from any of the free countries which fought from the beginning. Both in the East and in the West, the Allied vanguards stand on German soil. The U-boat menace has, for the time being, I always put those sort of remarks in because life is full of changes and hazards in these years. The U-boat menace has, for the time being, been practically effaced. There was one month, a recent month, in which up till the last day, they did not sink a single ship. On the last day, they got one. And therefore, the matter was hardly of a character to be specially mentioned. But that great peril which hung over us so long and at times concentrated the whole attention of the defense organization of this country and of the United States has been effaced. And from the air, there rains down upon the guilty German land a hail of fire and explosives of ever-increasing fury. We have had our own experiences. And we have, we know what, how severe the ordeal may be. But I can assure you that we have not suffered a tenth. And we shall not suffer a tenth of what is being meted out to those who first started and developed this cruel and merciless form of attack. My Lord Mayor, are the fruits, or some of the fruits. For if I were to try to name them all, I should indeed vex your patience. Such are the fruits of 1944. And no one can be blamed, provided he does not slacken his effort for a moment, his or her effort for a moment, no one can be blamed for hoping that victory may come to the Allies and peace may come to Europe in 1945. When I was here last year, I could not tell you that I was about to start for the meeting of the three great allies, the heads of the three governments, at Tehran. We all stand on the threshold of Germany, and it will take the full exertions of the three great powers, every scrap of strength and sacrifice that they can give to crush down the desperate resistance which we must expect from the deadly military antagonist at last beaten back so largely to his own lair. I cannot today, any more than any of the other four occasions when I have been called upon to respond for this toast, I cannot offer you an easy future, even on the continent of Europe. Great free methods must be made. It is always in the last lap that races are gained or lost. The efforts must be forthcoming. There's no moment now to slacken. Hard as it may seem after 5 long years of war to take a new surge of impulse out of yourselves, every man and every woman in this island must show themselves capable of doing. And I am sure our soldiers at the front will not be found incapable of that extra effort which is necessary to crown all that has been gained, and above all, to bring this frightful slaughter and devastation in Europe to an end within the shortest possible period of time. That, at any rate, was the dominant thought in His Majesty's government. I can assure you that although it is our duty to work hard, as we have worked hard, and produce large schemes of social improvement and advance, and though it is our duty to make preparations for the changeover from war to peace, or from a war in Europe to a war in Japan, in far distant Asia, that although we are bound to work as hard as we can at those, nothing is allowed to stand in the way of the prosecution of the war to its ultimate conclusion. And if we were to fail in that, we should not be worthy either of your confidence or of the kindness, my Lord Mayor, which has led you to drink our health this afternoon.